Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Royal Grown Radio. I'm sitting here with Daniel and Keely from Heart of Humboldt in downtown Arcata, California. I'm Rick Elliott, joined with my co-host,
Mr. Michael Beck.
And we're here to sit down and get the brass tacks, meats and potatoes of their operation, how they got here, and where they think things are going. So thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Thanks for the lovely tour, the tour of the flower room, the tour of the dispensary, the beginning and the end of the whole process. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got here.
You want to kick it off?
I'm originally from Huntington Beach, Southern California.
HB!
All the way. Been coming up here since I was little and going camping on the Trinity, and my parents met each other here at college. My uncle went here, my brother went here, and then I went here and graduated. Graduated with an art education degree, and look where it brought me. And
love that.
But SoCal to NorCal.
Very common story, obviously. More so these days, probably now with HSU now being a Cal Poly university, and they kind of did more of an expansion, a little bit more in catering to students from Southern California, more mission style, mm-hmm. kind of making it seem like they're a little closer to home than they were maybe 20, 30 years ago coming to school in Humboldt,
And for me, I'm actually originally from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and I came out here. First time I actually ever flew, I flew to Sacramento and drove all the way up to Willow Creek and saw a farm and kind of fell in love with the idea of what it is, seeing a 15-foot tall plant, and just still remember that feeling of like, holy shit, this is normal, you know what I mean? It wasn't a crazy thing. I was actually still in high school. I left on a long weekend, booked a flight, flew out here. A buddy, his cousin lived out in Willow Creek, went, saw it, picked up some flour, and traveled back home, and I just been coming back and forth ever since. And I officially moved out here like 2015-ish, and went out to Willow Creek and started running a farm site out there, really small, that was still in the good era of cannabis industry, mm-hmm. Just growing as much as we could, self-sufficient, completely off the grid, off Three Creeks, right up to Hoopa. It was pretty wild out there at times.
Especially on that back end as you're creeping over
that
the top
back end, there. Yeah, it's a little bit sketchy.
I was actually on the beginning stretch of Three Creeks, okay. Right off Highway 299.
Yeah,
so very, very familiar. It's funny you started off with that flight story, and I was like, please don't tell me that your first flying experience was into Arcata Airport. That could potentially have been your last ever attempt at getting on a plane.
Yeah, never coming back if you fly into Arcata. I've been canceled on more flights to Arcata than anywhere else in the world. It's definitely something.
I remember flying out when it was still just prop planes. Yep. Yeah, that was cool.
And
it made it seem more remote than it actually probably was. You get on those prop planes from San Francisco or Portland, and a lot of people were like, we'll just drive from there.
I'll say those days were hard, and ACV has come a really, really long way. Shout out to ACV, Cody. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Redwood Municipal, Eureka, Arcata, McKinleyville Airport.
What is it called? Where is it at? Is it Arcata? Is it McKinleyville?
Is it Eureka? Yeah.
I don't know where we're at.
Is it in the Redwoods? Who knows?
As long as you eat some edibles before you go, who cares where you're at? You know, you'll get to your final destination and enjoy the trip.
That was great.
I love hearing kind of your direct, like, land in Sacramento, and now I'm on a weed farm in Willow Creek. I came from Michigan as well, and the first time I came out here was much the same. I went to some concerts in San Fran, came up to visit people, and next thing you know, I was in front of a greenhouse full of giant plants, and I was like, oh, it's like this.
Yeah.
How fast can I get here?
Yep. I mean, coming from Ohio, I had High Times magazines hidden under my bed, like there were 30 magazines, you know? It's High Times, but in Ohio, everything's so... Yeah. Crazy out there.
In that time period, you would go to prison for a seed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Rolling papers was a felony.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't have cannabis, if you didn't have tobacco. In Ohio, being a Midwest boy, you learn all the laws of the surrounding states. Sure. And Ohio was scary, and we're fresh on the heels of legalization in Ohio. So this really speaks to the story of the Humboldt mentality spreading.
100%. Yeah.
Fresh on the heels being like 10 years after they really started to dabble. It's been in, they're one of those states that have kind of put their foot in and taken it out again a couple times and
changed
their shoes a few times, so to speak.
So I'm really interested. You came up, you checked out plants back and forth,
you
doing that
in.
Classic Humboldt hustle. And you're like, no, I'm doing it. And you moved out here at a time when a lot of people moved out in like 15, 16. And it was still the good old days, like you said, but it was getting harder and harder. And a lot of folks that came out in that time period really didn't make it. They had grand visions. They maybe farmed for a few years, moved on to farm somewhere else, whatever. But to see you integrated into the community here, operator at the heart of Humboldt, like, tell us a little bit about that mentality and like the connections that it took to kind of bring you here today.
Well, you know, the same horror stories of working up on the hill, you know, you partner with people, you come out and everything you think it's going to be, it doesn't end up becoming. But as I was in Ohio, I had my own restaurant out there and catering services, different types of things. So I come from the food industry where, you know, you got to count every half a penny to even make a profit. So the transition, I just try to compare everything to the food industry, look at food costs and create a cannabis cost across the board, learning your numbers, kind of cutting as much cost out as you can, sourcing everything yourself, handling your trimming services, you know, on site as opposed to sending things out, and just trying to create your biggest profitability. And then as we had the property, we started doing all solvent-free extraction. That was when you could source trim for, you know, penny. The neighbors were throwing out all the trim. And me, Tom, the other guy you met over there, another buddy, Curtis, we bought 12 or 13 Bubble Magic washing machines, had it on the back porch on the property in Willow Creek, running off generators, shaking bags from morning till sundown. We'd buy the ice in town, actually got a good deal at McDonald's. The cheapest ice I could find. And then they finally cut us off because they were like, we don't support you making hash. Corporate was in doing an inspection as we were loading a truck full of ice. And they were like, no fucking way is this happening again. So we had to buy our own ice machine. But we started manufacturing just solvent-free products, pressing rosin. From there, we just kind of took the opportunities and I saw the legalization coming and I was like, you know, I want to be in town on the 101. So we moved to Eureka and big shell shock going from Willow Creek to out here and Blue Lake to out here, and drove by this little warehouse that had a sign for rent for it. Drove by it 2-3 times, called the number. Nobody answered because I had an Ohio number. Finally, one day the guy was in the warehouse and I just stopped my car right there on Broadway and I went in there. I was like, what's up? Can I rent this space? What are you doing? He's like, well, do you think you're even going to survive? And I was like, no, I don't know if I will, but I'll pay you rent every month no matter what. And he's like, deal.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, let's go. And we started a very small solvent-free manufacturing facility. It was the old cash and carry over on the south side of Broadway.
Split
it in half, did manufacturing one side and distribution, transportation on the other side, and just started going from there. And, you know, we created, I thought, man, we're going to make all this hash. We're going to be hash kings in Northern California. Failed horribly. We made a ton of hash and it barely sold. Then we transitioned to doing service manufacturing, started making pre-rolls for farm sites. Pre-rolls for other distros, packaging for people, and everyone's like, that's the dumbest shit I ever heard, but it worked. We had no overhead costs. They provided the papers, the flour, packaging, and it was a service. So it was me and Tom. The first job we took was like 300,000 pre-rolls.
Wow,
and me and Tom are making them, tapping each fucking pre-roll shake. I mean, it was the stupidest shit ever. And, you know, Gordon, actually, a husband and wife, they were like 60 years old, Gordon and Liz. That's how we've connected to Heart of Humboldt here.
Okay.
Gordon used to own Leaf Detective. It's a local testing facility.
Yeah.
It's where that Betty Chin Annex is now, right by the police department in Eureka. He hosted an event at Heart of Humboldt, cannabis education. Me and Tom got all high one night and we were like, you want to go? Fuck it, let's go. We showed up, no one was here. It was Gordon, Liz, Michelle, his partner, business partner, and me and Tom walked in and we're like, did we miss it? Like, I know I got high, but like, did we forget the time? Gordon just introduced us to all the testing background, how you test the product, what the dilution rate is, the carrier gas used, the heat that they're heating it up to, how to activate the conversion of THCA to THC. And from there, we just struck up this relationship. And Gordon, years later, started running Heart of Humboldt. He's since passed away, but that's how I kind of met Danny and Marsha, the old owners, and we came in and we helped them with manufacturing products, making pre-rolls, hashes, keefs, different types of concentrates. And years later, Danny reached out and was like, hey, do you want to take over the grow? And I was like, well, we'll come check it out. Yeah, of course. We met Keely.
That's where we met, yeah.
Nice. Came cool. through. She was super excited personality, like, I mean, you guys see, happy to fucking be here. You don't find that, you know what I mean? Most of the time it's like, oh fuck, I'm at work.
And but it's so important with the relation to cannabis, and I won't go too into detail on this because we talk about it a lot, but intention and connection with the plant, it all comes down to the human. And so
yeah, proof is you can see it, the beauty's mm-hmm. right there. So as we left that day, Danny was like, what do you think about taking the whole thing? And I was like, there's no fucking way Danny's gonna sell the dispensary, you know, he's been here since 98.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, think about it, I'll sell the whole thing if you want to, not offering it to anyone else, it's just to you, you've helped us out with many things, we feel comfortable with you. And we worked through everything and we finally got to an agreement, and the transition has been a slow process, but we're here now.
That's so amazing and like so true Humboldt. Like, it still happens here, folks. There's that connection, the Humboldt handshake, where people want to pass on what they've created here. And it's not always, I'm trying to get rich. It's a, I want to see my life's work continue. Mm-hmm. Let's find the person that can carry the dream to the next level. And Humboldt's really unique. I've never seen it so widespread in a community like it is here, where people are like, you're the person, come on under the wing, and allow that person to develop, create their own path, and grow it forward. And I really feel like it's a magical piece of what we do here. That's really super amazing. And that you're a Dan, he's a Dan. It's like,
it's confusing for me. I gotta keep it straight somehow. Yeah. But yeah, because the original idea was you guys coming in and splitting the grow. So you'd get these rooms, we'd get these rooms. And so that was like, all right, how are we going to do the dance with each other?
Right.
And then it evolved more because you're coming around more. Yeah. And Danny couldn't stop talking about how, okay, I'm really thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about stopping and handing it over. And you're the only name that ever came out of his mouth to do that. He did have another offer, but he kept the handshake with you.
That was,
and
speaks to his character.
And yes, absolutely.
If any of you guys have ever been to Heart of Humboldt, Danny is here all the time. Old man Danny, fucking love him to death. Mm-hmm. One of the kindest people you'll ever meet.
Just and have a just, joint right in your hand.
Yeah, you walk in, and if you couldn't afford a joint, he'll give you a joint. Yeah. You know, shake your hand, look you in the eye, have a conversation about stuff, help you out with things, and he still comes around, you know, I think more so just to get out and have something to do. I'm shocked he hasn't popped in today just to say hi.
He's out of town. That's the only reason.
But you know, it's a cool story the way it's came around. And, you know, Gordon and Liz, like I said, it was me, Tom, and two other people packing 300 plus joints by ourselves at a warehouse. And from there, it's just, we've gone to so many different spots.
It makes so much sense that your kitchen background, that pinching penny, is okay, a quarter cup of rice dry cost me this much and it makes three plates. You need to know that. And for piecemealing, for manufacturing, that's a really direct, easy kind of transition of the same mentality of, I'm making 7 cents on each of these 300,000 joints or whatever it is, and we got to get X number done in X amount of minutes to actually make money and pay ourselves instead of doing it for free. And that's a piece of the mentality that was hard for a lot of cultivators in Humboldt, including people like myself, to really cross that bridge, because so many people came into the cannabis business to avoid business.
Yep. Yep.
Well, and also during a time where the money was really good, and
you didn't have to.
Yeah, there was no pressure to really have to break everything down to pennies and dimes and even dollars.
Yeah. Well, you got to count the pennies to get to a dollar, and so many people overlook that small aspect of it. But
even
really,
when things started to get tough, I feel like that was like, you know, a huge obstacle of trying to figure out how to maintain salaries and how to, you know, calculate your gas getting to and from your property. And those things are just, you know, for the average person that doesn't have a business background or an economics background, like, that's a really difficult thing to, and, you know, a lot of the people that came here to grow or grew up here and started to grow, they didn't do anything else. You know? I mean, that's literally their first and only job. Even people now in their 50s and 60s, this is literally all they know.
All they've done.
And they're really, really good growers. And good hash makers and good joint rollers. But you know, the business thing is, you know, it's a little tougher to come by.
Well, and that's why we try to even work together through our manufacturing with farms. We've mentioned Catch a Cloud prior to getting on this podcast. Working with them, helping her to set up her manufacturing, showing her our exact recipe for making bubble hash, how to streamline a manufacturing facility, how to create an assembly line. You know, take the ideas that have been successful in other industries. The assembly line is the best thing. One person weighs, one stickers, one bags, and it goes straight down the line. Mm-hmm. Just keep it an even flow. Productivity's up. It's all about the numbers, calculating how long can somebody weigh a pound, how long can they bag it. Knowing those numbers really helps us to kind of forecast everything we're aiming for. Yeah. And strategic partnerships. You met Tom over there. Alicia is another partner. They all bring so many things. Keely, our employees, the group we have here, it wouldn't work without every piece falling into place. And that's really what we're aiming to kind of keep it here, keep the community going, and just kind of ride that platform to the end.
What a true to Humboldt mentality. I really like that. I mean, even here locally, we go into farms and there's some serious top-down mentality in some of these places. No, what I say goes, everybody does the way I want it to do. Like, this is it. We do it my way, it's my grow. And that's great, and it works well for some people, but that community vibe, I think, is what really built it. And it's tangible here. When you walk in and see the smiles on everybody's faces, you hear them talk about their job with passion, with power, with positivity. Those things really speak to me about why I ended up here, why I know a lot of the people I surround myself with ended up here, because it's a team effort. And really cool to see it transitioning in that way.
What are your thoughts and our feelings as far as, you know, being a dispensary owner and operator here in Arcata, where I know for a long time even the idea of a dispensary in Humboldt in general was kind of a head scratcher, because it seemed like there was just so much weed everywhere. What would be the need for a dispensary? And now, you know, you and HRC have been here for a long time, but now you've got quite a few other competitors that have moved into town in the last few years, right? You got the Emerald.
Part of the Emerald.
You've got
Humboldt Premium,
Fireplace,
Kiskanoo.
Yep. So
everybody.
And it seems like everybody's still doing okay, and everybody's supporting each other. I mean, it's a small town, but obviously there's definitely a large percentage of the town that's, you know, got some sort of hand in consumption.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, like we talked about at the dispensary, I wanted to create the ability for the customer to buy the product like they did from Uncle Bill, like they did from the Mocha back in the day, the Humboldt Dock, all these original great growers that were around here. Sorry, could someone grab that? Create that platform, and you know, we work with Proper Wellness. We sell them some of our indoor flower. We package for them. We work with Fireplace, Duke over there. We yep. work with Mocha. We want to get back to the old school era of the cannabis industry. We want it to be that community. I remember going to the Redwood Cup for the first time at the Redwood Fairgrounds over there and seeing people walking out with plants. I mean, monster plants. And I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking incredible. Yeah. Doing those competitions where everyone would get the same strain plant and you get 75 days to grow it, dry it, trim it, and submit it in for... We're in talks with other dispensaries to do competitions like that. I want to build that platform up again. But with us having the ability to single source, not many dispensaries actually have their own on-site grows. Right. And it gives us an ability. And then, you know, my other business, we have a solvent-free manufacturing. So we have the ability to process on-site, make all of our own other in-house products, tinctures, edibles, chocolates, kind of a long list of anything except for hydrocarbon extractions. So we have another facility over in off Broadway in Eureka, and we just want to kind of create these products to the customers at the best price point and let people know we can survive here. We can actually contribute to the community, get rid of that stigma of, oh, it's they're selling weed. No, we're actually giving back products, and all the donations we're doing, all the raffles, we want to give back to the customers. So we're kind of looking at it. It might sound stupid to some people, but, you know, I was talking earlier, I'm from Ohio. So my first job, I got paid less than $3 an hour. $3 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and seeing price points of $65 an eighth, I can't afford that.
Never going to be able to touch it.
What the hell? You know what I mean? So why not give great quality product at an even better value? And we've been seeing great traction with it. You know, awesome. It's working. We're networking with all the right partnership companies, trying to just build that platform. So it does kind of suck that there's a lot more competition. But even when I was in the culinary world, I'd give you my recipe because I know you're not going to wake up at 4 in the morning. I know you're not going to knead your own dough. I know you're not going to do the same steps.
Right.
Competition kind of fuels the excitement of moving to the next step in the industry. So if I know you're working your ass off and you're up at 4, I better wake up at 3:30. Or, you know, we just got to keep moving forward and find that ability to survive. It's all about adapting and, you know, knock on wood. I want to kind of do what Danny and Marsha did and be here for the next 20 years. I don't want this to be... fly by the seat, we got a dispensary, we sell weed, I'm out of here. No, I want this to be a legacy dispensary that we're currently the oldest operating dispensary in Humboldt, and I plan on staying that way for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. There's that, not pressure, but like a responsibility that you hold to the former owner.
Yeah.
That, you know, this has gotta last. This has gotta make it through the
100%.
You know, I love that. I'm sure he appreciates that as well. Just knowing that it's in your hands and you do have that respect for each other. That, you know, sense of a different sense of success going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying. You know, it's
yeah. I'm already feeling the difference. I've been here for over 3.5 years, and yeah, there's a lot that you're going to do. It's going to be really good.
Thank you very much.
I think it's so cool that you had the opportunity to like interact and participate with the business and grow that before taking it over. It allows you to like really think through all of these steps and what could I do different? What would I do different? And those are things that naturally tumble through our minds whenever we go anywhere, right?
100%.
At least those that are always seeking the next level. So to have that and then be like, oh, this is actually a possibility and be able to put it into action, that's really cool.
Yeah. When he said it in the parking lot, me and Tom both got in our cars and we sat there before we even started the car like, what the fuck's he talking about?
Did he say
take the whole thing? What's he mean by the whole thing? You know, and then literally went back to the house and it's like, called Tom, what the hell is he talking about? You know, and it's like, finally had to call Damien and be like, do you mean the whole damn thing? He's like, yeah, I'm about to be 80, man. I'm wanting to go enjoy life. I'm, holy shit, you know, got off the phone and it's like almost shaking. Like, wait, this could actually happen?
Yeah.
You know? So I was very blessed that he chose us and gave us the opportunity. He's had multiple different offers, and even two of them, I think, were even more than what we settled on. And he was just willing to be a man of his word. We were in contract, and he didn't want to back out of that. And I can't appreciate that anymore. I mean, it's
awesome.
He sees
you as a local, even though you're from Ohio. When
I'm
he talks
local
about,
as it can
yeah,
be.
He sees you as definitely a local, and I think he came in right after that, or it was the next day that he comes and talks to me, and we sit out there for longer than I would like, because I got work to do. But he likes to talk, so, you know, he was my boss, I talked with him. But him saying, I offered it to Dan and Tom. I was like, oh, the grow? Like, the whole grow? I was like, great, and we're not going to split it up and do that kind of confusing thing we were talking about? And no, the whole thing, the dispensary too. He does this with his hands together. I'm like, let's go.
Wow.
Let's get some young blood in here.
It's so cool from like to kind of see from your perspective of like watching the entire transition
it's
happen and
lot.
Being a part of it. That's a really unique kind of catbird seat to see it all from.
There's a lot of change that's happened. And when I first worked here, not to talk about me or anything, but I started in food industry.
Please talk about you.
I started food industry. I worked in restaurants since I was 15 and worked at a bunch of different local restaurants here. And then COVID happened and was kind of waiting for things to kind of go back to normal. And, you know, one door closes, another door opens, and this door opened for me. And I was like, give me that other challenge. I had a friend that was like, my roommate works here. She needs help. And I was like, I need work. And that sounds great. Give me something new to do. And like, I didn't know. I never grew before. I was on the restaurant end, and I learned everything I know now from Danny. And I had worked with other, where they were the head growers, and things weren't looking good. Things were not looking good. And then it kind of fell into my lap, and I took it by the reins and did what Danny, you know, did what he said, and he let me learn. And I'm like, he's a teacher and I'm a student still, and I will never not stop learning on how to grow or anything else like that. But yeah, it was kind of different ring for me to be in here. But anyways, I'm looking at it now.
It's so cool. Trial by fire, you're new to the industry and you've watched this whole thing. I think that's really indicative of what a lot of people are going through now as cannabis emerges in new markets, especially.
Right.
You know, people are like, wow, I've been doing this one thing my whole life. Let's give it a try.
Uh-huh. It worked.
Yeah. Cannabis has a way of like grabbing people and changing their lives.
Got to take that leap and just try. What's the worst that happens?
No, I was used to smoking it. I never grew it. But now, yeah, I've run the place now and with help, and I found my great helper Annalie, who was here earlier. But yeah, trial and error.
So I gotta ask this question. It's kind of a little bit of a deviation. You're relatively new to the cannabis industry. What was it like that first time you smoked the flower that you grew?
I was like, look what I did. I'm like showing it, like, you guys ready, like, not smoking it by myself at all, and packing a bowl for my friends, like, okay, I grew this. And it's like, all right, but it was fun. I'm like, here's beginning to end. I took that cutting, it rooted, planted it, nurtured it, and now it's the thing that I've been doing since I was 13 and get to smoke it. But I've grown plants at my house, but that's just sunlight, do your thing.
Sure.
But to be so hands-on, and here my hands are on every single plant. There's not multiple times. I'm looking at every single plant eye level in it. It's punching me in the face sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's rewarding. It's a rewarding.
There's nothing like that first time, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's so amazing you've created the platform for this, too. And shout out to Danny to creating it for all of us to be here. This wouldn't be here without 40-plus years of dedication. And so big respect to you, Danny, for what you've done for this community and giving all of us an opportunity to even be here and talk about it. You've done a huge service, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, he inspired me, definitely, because it was a, to be honest, it was a job. And then when I came in, I was, you know, I was the grunt worker. I washed pots, I filled pots, I did all that, which I still do. But Danny, I remember him saying, like, I want you to be a grower. I don't want you to just be here and work and, you know, you're learning and everything, but I want you to be a grower. I want you to be a grower. He doesn't want to hold this for himself.
Yeah.
So that was, it was inspiring. He has a lot to learn from him.
Yeah, it's cool to hear more and more about that kind of backstory, because it just highlights more and more why the transition made so much sense. Because hearing what you're saying, hearing what he's saying, the community's lucky to have had this happen the way it did.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time coming, and very grateful for this. Grateful to be here. You know, we want to give back to the community. We're trying to in small ways, and just kind of keep it local. Yeah. Find the right
everyone
opportunity.
New to it too. It's for everyone.
Yeah.
It's not just for the old school growers. It is for everybody.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about Humboldt State or Cal Poly. You know, it's, I mean, it's been doing this for 50 years, bringing a whole new, you know, class of people to the community. That I would say, in a large way, a large percentage, were turned on to cannabis in some way. Whether it was consuming it or whether it was just living in a community that was okay with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to their communities that they came from with a little different mindset.
Well, and it's really interesting to me, these new people came into a community that was much more free and embracing of cannabis, but was still reserved in their time. And so the new people coming in keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope on how out in the open it is, and how the culture kind of really interacts with the rest of the community, as more and more outsiders came and were like, well, no, it's okay here, I can just do it in public. And a lot of the old timers were like, no, we don't do it in public here. Right. That's crazy. But there were those few that were forging the path, and those new people came and keep pushing the boundaries and pushing the boundaries. And that's where I really just love to see that passion contribute to the evolution of the community.
It's almost a symbiotic relationship now. They're coming in from other places that have just gone legal, and they are smoking in public, and they're coming here, and the old school are just like, no, we still don't do that.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, we're learning from you now. Well, look at this.
The old school mindset, I think, is one of the best ones. But, you know, with change and evolution, we got to grow and adapt and kind of make ourselves out there. You know, I'm from Ohio, Midwest. You don't talk about nothing. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's, you know, even when I had a grow back there, the biggest challenge was not showing anyone your grow. You got this beautiful, it's like, oh my God, there's plants in here, I'm producing this, and everyone's liking to smoke it, but I can't say anything about it, you know? And it's
all you
want to
do is share.
Yes, it's like, I want you to know, I did that. I, you know, but you can't.
You can't invite people back from the bar.
Yes.
You know, after a few drinks, you'd be like, wow.
Hey, take a look at this.
Show a couple people.
You know, and that old school mindset is what's forged the way to where we're at now. And, you know, as you said, there's that Humboldt Canna Tours. That guy is doing tours on multiple different farm sites, bringing people from all over the world, not just the United States. And they're coming to Humboldt County. They're coming to Arcata, to Eureka, to see what's been created here. And it's like, you know, as you're in it all day, you don't ever notice it. It's a norm.
We get a glimpse of that through this podcast. We have subscribers and downloaders and listeners all across the world that are really, you know, fascinated by the history of cannabis. They're getting turned onto it now in whatever, you know, way that they are where they live. But, you know, they want to know how it got to where it is now, 50 years later, 40 years later. And they're really interested in the story. Some of the people that we've interviewed over the last 4 years, you know, can go deep into being chased by helicopters and having
the old school days.
Know, their custody battles over their kids. It's a totally different, rebellious outlaw world that people just weren't familiar.
Well, I mean, even look at Humboldt State now has cannabis studies degree. You can actually go do things. You know, I teach for a school back in Ohio, a cannabis trade school in Ohio.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? Cleveland what, School
how
of Cannabis.
Just bringing this up now? It's amazing.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I just wanted to highlight this community. But, you know, it's even areas like that are, they're evolving. We're actually trying to make this industry. Every time it gets better, it doesn't get better just for you or me. It gets better for the whole industry. And then we see improvements. And we still have to fight the regulation, the compliancy change, the packaging regulation. So as we get better, we're evolving. Even the inspectors now, you know. I got a great inspector at my manufacturing spot. Monica, you're great. Don't know if you even watch this, but you're fucking awesome. She's worked with me from the beginning. Literally, one of the first documents I submitted was a hand fucking wrote document for a log for waste destruction, and she accepted it. She made me make it better. But, you know, from there, we've evolved to such a point that the inspectors that came here, Emily, both Emilys, are freaking phenomenal. Great people to work with. It's a community. If you work with them, they're here to help us get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't want to come in and shut us down and slap our hands. They're actually here to promote the industry. And it's that regulation, as much as I hate it, that will push us forward.
It has to be there, you know. And honestly, you know, a lot of those people, they were coming in with the same stigma that we know existed for everybody. And you tackle that with the idea that there is nothing to base off of, right? You're just, it's all new. We're all kind of just bumbling through it together for the first time. And everyone's just trying to do their job and trying to make sense of it and figure out the best way forward for whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I know that in Humboldt, there's always been, you know, a little angst to the way certain things were rolled out. You know, in the big scheme of things, obviously, you can look at the state of California and all the counties that are so far behind, some of which have never even adapted
some of our neighboring
legalization.
Yeah. Fortuna.
Fortuna.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, I think there's 59 counties in California, and the majority of them still are no cannabis whatsoever.
Yeah.
Cultivation, no dispensaries, no anything. So
even municipalities like Fortuna within Humboldt County,
mm-hmm.
you've got a population center that says, no, not here. Not
They're
in my
getting
area.
There, though. They're coming. It's a slow evolution, mm-hmm. you know?
It is. And I think that that's really important. I'm really so amazed to hear that you're working with the Cleveland School of Cannabis, is
yep.
that what you said?
Yep.
I think that's so awesome that you're able to take a little glimpse of what's happening here and share it with those folks, because it's on that leading edge of legalization as the industry begins to create itself and evolve that our voices are so, so, so important in laying out the stakeholder path. Like, no, we can't regulate it from this mentality that you have up in this Capitol building wherever, because that doesn't work on the street in the businesses. And so we need people to be out there advocating for laws that support the people in the communities and support the businesses being able to give back into their communities, instead of, no, you get 9 licenses for the whole state and it's going to go corporate and
right.
none of that money gets cycled within your community. And I think that's a big struggle that Ohio's dealt
yes.
with. They passed it and then it didn't go anywhere, and then they had it on the books another time and it fell apart because of the way it was orchestrated. And the people say, no, we want control of this. We don't want to be controlled by the government in the way yeah. we interact with cannabis.
A lot of people don't realize with Ohio's very similar to Michigan. Outside of California, yeah. that was a powerhouse for indoor cultivation through the 90s especially. And not even
very
just people growing, but like good, really high quality weed coming
yeah.
out of Ohio back in the day. I mean, they've had, you know, obviously a history of the Grateful Dead. They got an Antioch College. It had
yeah.
like some great environmental programs, and it catered to that same sort of cultural mindset that is very cannabis friendly and driven. So, you know, it made sense, and it's a shame that it's taken this long for, you know, Ohio to finally get things moving in a progressive way, you know, but same time, kudos.
Oh yeah, no, it's a huge step forward. And I mean, even Michigan, man, I remember some of the best flower coming from Michigan. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
me too.
why am I gonna fly to California to get flower when I could drive 4 hours to Michigan and get some amazing flower. I mean, it's right there. Not downgrading California's product. It's just risk reward.
They have those basements in Michigan.
Yeah,
they're just gold mines.
Ohio, you know? Too, man. The Lemon G strain from Ohio. I remember some of these just old school things. And it's like, you know, when you're in that, that's what it's been for so long that it's crazy to be here, you know, doing this right now. Having a conversation, a podcast, talking about it
comfortably on camera.
We're gonna put this on the internet later.
You know,
right? I mean, I remember my first grow in a Michigan basement. Yeah, you couldn't tell anyone. Yep. You were terrified. And this was the late '90s. And a good friend of mine happened to show up unannounced when we were working in the grow room and walked down into the basement and stumbled on it, and we were terrified.
You didn't say anything? What's going on? What?
He's still my best friend in the world, operates a local dispensary now, moved from Michigan, another family friend, mentioned him earlier in the podcast too, but it's the community, and you got to be careful, but that fear almost stopped us from connecting on that level and growing a 25, 30 year relationship based around the plant. You know, if the door would have been locked, who knows if we'd be still friends in the same way, both growing cannabis, both in this industry in Humboldt, 4,000 miles away from where we started. So it's, the fear is a huge obstacle to overcome. And for those back in those communities, try and have a little trust in your heart. Protect yourselves. We know you got to be quiet, but have a little trust in your heart.
I was going to say, Michael, he ended that friendship right then and there, and that's when he moved to California.
I'm out.
And I'm out. I'm gone.
He saw my basement.
Yeah. It was terrifying, though, I'll tell you that. Like, oh, no, is he going to the cops?
Yeah. That's the fear, man. It, you know, drying in the room and making sure there's no smell, there's no nothing. And it, you know, it's a different mindset. Out here, I go to the grocery store and everyone's like, damn, you smell like weed. It's like, oh, shit. You know, but it's a normal thing. I got fingerprinted at the police department and the lady's like, oh, were you in the garden? At the police department. And it's like,
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I was.
Well, I'm getting a live scan to see if I can get a permit. So, yeah, actually, I was. It was legal. I did it right. But, you know, when they ask you, you're like, holy shit, it's kind of shell shock of like, do I say yes? Do I lie right now? Why lie? I'm going to look even 10 times dumber.
And this person really doesn't care.
Yeah, they don't care. They're probably smoking later on.
I think the worst was going to pick your kids up from school and realize you still had leaves on your back. and being told by another parent, and be like, oh, shit. Not again.
Again?
Not at school.
Big nug stuck to one of my beanies one time. My friend's like,
is that ornamental?
Yeah, Keely, took that away.
Fashion statement.
Well, I have to say a deep heartfelt thank you so much to both of you for having us, for showing us around, taking the time, busy holiday season, to spend and share what you do and your passion with us, because I feel like it's more than just a tour. It's a glimpse of your life and your passion for what you do. So thank you so much for taking the time with us
today. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. We truly appreciate you guys coming out. Stop in. Maybe we could do some promotional thing for anyone from the podcast locally. Come in and we'll do a discount at Heart of Humboldt.
Wow. We would love that.
Yeah. We were talking last year. I want to say her name was Roxanne.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Roxanne. Last year we were talking about doing some sort of like a pop up table day.
Please.
Local, you know, do some
that.
King's Mix demonstrations or give out some samples or something.
Hell yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole community is. I say they're a bunch of nerds, but it's great because they're all scientists, soil majors, botanists. And 420, we brought in live plants in there, and no one could get enough.
I wonder if that was what it was. I think it might have been 420, and I think when she invited us, because obviously 420 in the cannabis industry, when you work for a soil company,
yes.
We were like going down the list of everyone's calendars, and we're like, no, we're all like flying to different parts of the country for 420.
Yeah, we had so many people interested in our soil, more than I would ever have guessed. I was talking about soil a lot more than plants, even.
They don't even care about the weed. What soil?
These soil majors or something. I was like, all right, let me tell you all about it.
We would love to be here. We'll start planning a little earlier and we'll get on it. We'll make sure that one of us is here.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we use something, a promo code Royal Gold at the storefront and offer a 5% discount, 10% discount.
Sweet.
On in-house product.
Let's do it. So this, we're going to post edit. So when this airs, people, we'll make sure to drop the code on the back end. We'll give you a screen so you guys can come in, give some support to the heart of Humboldt here, get a promo code, get you some fantastic locally grown flower in Humboldt.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's do it.
Great.
Awesome.
I
like it.
I gotta get to work.
All right. Yeah, I know, right? We've kept you for too long. I'm sure you have a million things to do.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone at home. I'm Michael Beck.
I'm Rick Elliott.
And you're listening to Roto Radio.
This is Daniel from Heart of Humboldt. Thank you for listening to Royal Grown Radio. You can check us out at The Heart of Humboldt on Instagram, and come check us out in Arcata, California. Thank you.